There is a truth that's older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us, Jesus. Who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as the lamb, he carries my healing in his hands, Jesus. There is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storm that rages. He is Jesus, yeah. Who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, on the waters. He walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as the lamb, he carries my healing in his hand, Jesus. Messiah, my Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my Redeemer, there is power in your name. Messiah, Messiah, my Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my Redeemer, there is power in your name. You walk on the water, you walk on the water, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like the lion, you bled as the lamb, you carry my healing in your hand. You walk on the water, you speak to the sea, beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled as the lamb, you carry my healing in your hands, Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus. Everyone sing his name with me. There There is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you, Lord. We honor you. We glorify you, Lord. We bless your name. And we thank you that you've given us the authority and the power in your name. As we speak it, Lord, let us be overwhelmed with the sense of your presence in our lives. And as we behold the little things in the daily course of our lives, the sun that rises in the eastern sky, a bird that flutters across the sky, a little leaf as it falls from the tree, Lord, let us know and understand that these are all examples of your glory being beheld for us to enjoy and to see. Because that's how special you find each and every one of us. These little things were done and created just for you, just for me. And we thank you that we can behold your glory in these little things all around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michael. Praise God. Am I on? Praise God. Okay. Well, thank you for allowing me. This is my third visit here. I try to get out here and visit my dad once a year. And I missed the second page. I try to get out here and visit my dad once a year. And he lives and grew up in Elwood City. I'm missing the second page. Oh, well, I'll pull it up. My dad lives and grew up in Elwood City, joined the Navy at 16, lied about his age, went to Hawaii, visited my, went to Hawaii, got shore leave, met my mom, who's Hawaiian, and, I was the result of that shore leave. I used to say it was a mistake, but praise God, he never makes mistakes. I've even admitted and confessed and asked my mom, I said, Mom, if abortion was legal when I was born, would I have been born? She goes, that's a good question. So praise God for that. I can say that I'm a saved abortion or something, you know. But there's no way to prove that because, like I said, the Lord never makes mistakes. I grew up in music. I learned to play the piano at 3, and my parents took me to piano lessons for like 7 years as a child. And at 10, I picked up the ukulele. At 12, I picked up a bass guitar. At 15, I picked up a regular guitar. And all this time, my Hawaiian family is into entertainment. We're entertainers. So at 10 years old, I was on the stage dancing hula and Polynesian dancing. So I've been on the stage a lot growing up. And so I got a lot of singing awards by the time I was 15. So I had these aspirations to be the next star, the next showcase item, the next Don Ho in Waikiki. That was my goal. And so I went away to college. I went to music college in Boston, and I loved it. But while I was away in college, we had this Bible study in our dorm room, in our dorm. And I went, and it was being held by the United Pentecostal Church. And if you don't know, they're the Holy Rollers. And praise God, I learned what it was like to be open in worship from these Pentecostals who, they came every Sunday morning, picked us all up from the dorm and took us to their church, and they had a knockout band because all the kids from the college that I was going to played in their band, and so we had some great musicians playing in that band. But it was wonderful to see 70, 80, 90 year old women running up and down the aisles praising God. I went, whoa, this is new. So it was totally new, totally extreme for me. It was regular that people came with their tambourines and played with tambourines. And on a side note, if anyone brings a tambourine when I'm worshiping, I excuse them and tell them I don't need you to play with me. Thank you very much. Kind of throws me off, being honest. But that's how the Lord had found me when I was in college, and because of my aspirations, the Lord addressed me once, and He says, "Why are you trying to steal my glory?" I said, "I'm not trying to steal your glory, Lord." And He says, "Well, what's the purpose behind anyone who gets up on stage and wants to be a star?" And I realized it was for glory. And so I got this part in this play called Godspell, and I got this song that I was the one who sang the song that all good gifts, the words of the song go, "All good gifts come from the Father above, so let us thank the Lord." Well, I got the experience of singing to the Lord then, because while we did the play, I swear I saw Jesus in the balcony. Nobody was up in the balcony, but I swear I saw Him. And I sang the song to Him. And the feeling, the overwhelm of the Spirit that came over me. And I said, "That's what I want. I want that." And so it was from that time on, I hung up my guitar and I said, "Lord, I'm not going to pursue it anymore. When you tell me, I'll take my guitar off the wall and I'll get back up on the platform. But I'm not pursuing it anymore for myself." It was 7 years later that the Lord said, "Okay, now." And so by that time, I was living in L.A. I was going to the church on the way, which is, if you don't know, it's a big church. Jack Hayford is a senior pastor there. And I learned worship from him. And that's when he brought me in and started training me and mentoring me in how to be a worship leader. And praise God, I'm so blessed now that when I'm up on the platform and I sing and I'm leading people into worship, He shows up. It's not me, nothing that I do. I mean, He's given me a gift, praise God, and I use it for His glory. And the commitment that I made to Him is, if anybody calls me to come and lead worship, I'll go. And wouldn't you know it, my phone rings. He holds me to it. So I don't lead worship at my church on Sundays, primarily because I'm a fill-in worship leader for other churches in the valley that I live in. If they call me and ask me to come and lead worship for them so their worship leader can take a break, I'll go and fill in for them. So that's what my ministry is. And in doing so, I help people to enter into the presence of the Lord, as we did this morning. So that's the gift that He's given me. Praise God. When Pastor Sam asked me, "Hey, John, can you preach?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you mind bringing the message on Sunday morning?" I said, "Okay. Praise God. Love to." And so I prayed about it. It's like, "Lord, what do you want me to teach on?" And He was giving me this message on. I titled it, "In the Midst of the Storm." Let me pull it up here while I have the chance. So if you have your Bibles, I got my Bible on my iPad, sorry. But if you have your Bible, hold it up with me. I'm going to teach you something. Go ahead and hold it up with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. So I open my heart today to receive a message and hear God speaking to me. Amen. All right, let's open to Matthew 8, verse 23. And I'm sure we all know this one, but we're gonna read it again. There's a lot of depth in this Bible verse that we see in here. I'll read it from here. "So now when He got into a boat, His disciples followed Him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But He was asleep. Then His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, 'Lord, save us! We're perishing!' But He said to them, 'Why are you fearful, oh, you of little faith?' Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey Him?'" There are several types of storms that happen in our lives. We know about physical storms. Of course, we had one. I don't know if you knew, it was pouring this morning. I had to drive my son to the airport first thing this morning. And there are physical storms that happened, thunderstorms, rainstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes. And growing up in Hawaii, I've been on the open sea when a storm happens, and the waves can get to 30 feet, and so you're riding in a boat, you go up with the wave and back down in the waves, and you're in the crevice of it, and it's just so scary. That's one type of wave, one type of storm. There are different types of storms that happen in our lives. There are financial storms, payment deadlines coming due, mortgage coming due, bills due, taxes that come due. There are physical storms, physical disabilities, illnesses. It's another type of storm. There's also mental and emotional stress. A lot of it's caused by the financial storms that hit you. Brings on the emotional and the mental stress. But those can be storms too. Mental, emotional storms. Legal storms. Got to go to court. A ticket that you might have gotten in LA, it's a big deal. I mean, there's like 200 people every morning, every afternoon for every traffic court case that comes up, and you have to wait hours before you can see the judge. But there are legal storms that come up in our lives. For young people, the term papers, exams, final exams, different kinds of storms that attack us. I have one of my best friends back in California. She, her husband was battling melanoma, skin cancer, for a year. He died last year in March. 2 months later, her mom died. 2 months after that, her dad died. And she was a wreck. But in that time, you know, constantly ministering to her and comforting her and being a shoulder to cry on and letting her unload it all and praying with her and going back to the Word, she's a lot better now. Praise God. So let me share some basic truths about handling the storms with you. First of all, you must be born again. John 3:3 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Victory over the storm stands in knowing what kingdom you belong to. The reason we worship so vividly, fearlessly, joyously, jubilantly, because we're worshiping our King. My stepmom, my dad's wife, he's been with her for 30 years now, but she's not my mom, but she's Korean. And she's hesitant in coming to church here with us. She says, "Oh, when you guys sing, you make all happy, happy." I said, "Yeah." She said, "I don't like that." I said, "But the reason we do it is because we're celebrating our King." She goes, "Oh, I get it. Now I understand." She still won't come. But so trying to help people understand, you must know what kingdom you belong to. Second basic truths of handling the storm, you must know who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:2 says, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with..." Oh, that's not the one. Oh, 5:21, sorry. Can't even read my own writing, my own typing. 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Do you know you are the righteousness of God? You might tell me, "Nah, John, I really don't feel like, you don't know what I did yesterday." Listen, it doesn't change who you are. You are the righteousness of, it says it right there. He made him who knew no sin to become the righteousness of God in him. I am the righteousness of God. Say that with me. I am the righteousness of God. Say it again. I am the righteousness of God. And when you're struggling in your daily lives and you're having a tough time, say that over and over and over again until it makes that long, perilous journey from here down into here. I am the righteousness of God. You got to know that.
Sure, you might slip and fall. You might do something that you're embarrassed about. It doesn't change who you are. I am the righteousness of God. It says it in the Word. The Word will never fail. That's who we are. As a believer in Jesus Christ, this is part of our identity. Know that. Get that. Sense it down in here. You must also know your role. James 5:16. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We just proclaimed, I am the righteousness of God. So now that you know who you are, a simple prayer, the bulletin that Pastor was sharing with everyone, it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer. Lord, I pray for so-and-so in Jesus' name. Let them find victory in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all it takes. Because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man gets it done. When it says righteous man, it also means woman too, okay? Don't feel left out. It didn't have genders in the Hebrew. So, know that. Your prayers, no matter how brief, how little, or long and drawn out, they're effective. They get it done. And let me announce to you that unless someone in the spiritual starts to proclaim something in prayer, it will not get done. The world might pray. They don't know who they're praying to. The Lord don't hear their prayers. He hears yours. Because we are the righteousness of God. He hears our prayers. And that's why it doesn't have to be something long or drawn out, something short. Even as you're passing by a car accident, I do this all the time, my kids know. Passing by a car, Lord, I pray over those people in Jesus' name through this difficult time that they're going through. Bring them to the place you have the opportunity to make the choice and let that choice be for you. Amen. I'm long past the accident by now, but I'm still praying over it. That's what we're called to do. That's our role. Okay. And you must stand in the authority of the Word. 1 Peter 1:23. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God lives and abides forever. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away. No question about it, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word will never pass away. If there's one thing that God honors in all of creation, his word. He will never fail his word. And that's why I tell people this all the time. Mind your words. Our words, the believers, our words have power. You speak it, it starts to happen in the heavenlies. You speak it, things start to happen in the natural because you spoke it. Mind your words. They're very powerful, very important. So that's the basic truths for handling a storm. I'm going to run through 5 keys to victory over all of life's storm real quick. Number 1, you got to come to church regularly and consistently in order to stay recharged and to gain insight. Gotta come to church. I can't miss any. In fact, I go to other churches during the week just because I want it. I want more. That's me. You're not me. You don't have to do what I do. But come to church regularly and consistently. Because people are depending on you. The pastor depends on you to come to church. Whether you're here or not, he's going to preach. I've preached to sermons that had nobody in the church. I'm preaching for my own exercise, but praise God. We're going to get it done. But come regularly and consistently so you can stay recharged and receive insight from what the Holy Spirit is telling you. He's moving in the area. We had a nice time last night, a refreshing time of praise and worship here in this place, right here. And it was so thick with the Holy Spirit, you could sense it. You could cut it like a knife. And it was so refreshing. Times like that are what you long for. So, first key, come to church regularly and consistently. Secondly, listen to faith-filled teachings outside of the church. And I say this often, guard the gates. The gates of your soul are here and here. And the enemy is always looking for a way to get past the gates. In California, we have a lot of billboards that you don't want your kids to see. You got to look away as you're driving. But the little things, TV, you know, mind what you watch on TV. Mind the music that you listen to. And my kids are old now, 25, 28, and 30, 31. Still trying to hold them back. My kids are older now. But I tell them all the time, mind the message in the music. The beat might be really good. I can cut a rug too. I can boogie with the best of them. But if the message is not one that is encouraging my spirit, I can't listen to it. Turn it off. Because the enemy's trying to get past the gates. Don't let him in. Don't let him in. Thirdly, read your Bible every day. Here at Living Manna, we read our Bibles every day. Say it with me. I read my Bible every day. We might be saying that in faith because it hasn't happened yet, but that's okay. Start now. I read my Bible every day, even if it's just one verse. Some of you have your smartphones or you access your internet on a regular basis. Go to YouVersion. They give you a verse of the day every day. YouVersion. And you can download the app. That's where I have my Bible from. But read your Bible every day. Stay connected. Hear what the Lord is telling you. As I shared with the worship team last night, practice being in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Speak your spiritual language. Even if it's just getting out of the shower and toweling yourself off, pray in the Spirit. Get in the practice of that. And also, write down what God is saying to you. I journal from my daily reading. And there's something that I practice called SOAP. S-O-A-P. So when I journal, I write the scripture down that jumped out at me as I was reading. I write down what God is saying. I forget what the O stands for. But write down what God is saying to me through that. Write down my interpretation of that. And then the P is a prayer. So I write down my prayer for that daily journal that I'm keeping. And I can go back and review it. And it doesn't have to be something long and drawn out and doesn't have to be shown to anybody. It's just for your growth. And lastly, speak what the Word says and not what you see. As we've read many passages here, if the Word says it, as you pray, speak that. Speak what the Word is reading to you. Because when you pray the Word, the Lord looks at you and says, ah, this one knows my Word. My life Bible verses is 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, for God is able to make all grace abound towards me, so that I, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I may be flat broke, nothing in my checking account, but Lord, you said that I would have an abundance for every good work. That's what the Word says. I'm standing on the Word. Not what my checking account says. Not what my wallet says. I'm standing on your Word, Lord. Stand on what the promises of the Word are. Oh man, I lost it. So these are the five keys to victory over all the storms in your life. So let's get into how to handle these storms. Number one, as Jesus showed us, speak to the storm. Whatever the storm is, Jesus rebuked it. Tornado heading towards your house. Get in front of your house. You will not affect my home. You are not coming here in Jesus' name. I proclaim it in Jesus' name. Speak to the storm. What storm is it in your life? You got health issues? Cancer, you are gone in Jesus' name. Financial issues? checking account, you will be filled in Jesus' name. Don't know how it's going to happen. But I think our God is big enough to handle it. Newsflash. He's a big God. He's a big God. Trust him. Jesus set the example for us. We are called to follow his example. Speak to the storm. It's okay. Titus 2:15. I don't know what I put there. Titus 2:15. Speak these things. Exhort. Rebuke with all authority. We've been given that authority. You might get embarrassed if you do it in front of people. That's okay. We've been given the authority. People will look at you if you're doing it in front of other people. People will look at you and say, what are you doing? But when that storm turns and goes away from your house, they're going to come running back to you and say, how do you do that? Speak with the authority. Speaking of authority, it says, take authority over the storm. Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth I give to you. No, I've been given. Has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And that's followed by Philippians 2:5-6. And I've been wrestling with this one for years. Philippians 2:5-6 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's kind of, Lord, isn't that sacrilege? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Let this mind be in you. He was equal with God, but did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Are you saying that I could be equal with God, Lord? That's heavy. Can you pull up 7? But made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, taking the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of men. This is the God of all creation who humbled himself. He's saying, yeah, let this mind be in you. You have the authority. You have the power to speak these things. To be equal with God. I still wrestle with that one. I can't see myself equal with God. But I do know that he's given me the authority. So I'm going to speak it. What illnesses do you have? There are many times I've prayed over people who've been in the hospital. In Jesus' name, I speak fullness into this body. Wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken in Jesus' name. And saw them get out of that bed and walk. Might not have been right away. Might have taken a few days. That's okay. God's timing is always perfect. I'm glad it's on his timing and not mine. I'd ruin everything. But I can speak things in the spirit to happen now in the physical. And the healing begins. This is our role. That's what we're called to do. So, we've been given authority over the storm. Matthew 8:26 says, have faith in the storm. In the middle of the storm, O you of little faith. In other words, trust what he's doing when you're in the middle of the storm. Trust what he's doing. And I know it's hard when the waves are crashing against your boat or the boat of your life. The winds are blowing and your hair is thrown back. And, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Praise God. His word says he never gives us any more than we can handle. But that ugly time that you're in the middle of, when you're past it and in that nice, comfortable place, looking back on what you came through, you're going to look back and go, oh, I remember when I went through that. I remember that. But it's tough when you're in the middle of that storm to see that there's going to be good coming out of this. That's tough. I admit. But Jesus says, have faith in the middle of that storm. Trust what he's doing. So that when you get to that comfortable place, you'll see, Lord, I saw what you were doing to me there. I understand it. I get it. I minister to men every Saturday morning. I'm the worship leader at a men's fellowship. Believe it or not, we meet at 7:30 every Saturday, and we have over 40 churches represented. It's a men's group, but men need this kind of fellowship. We get together every Saturday morning to encourage each other and share with the guy problems. Hey, I slipped and fell this week, and I kind of screwed this up. And the good thing about this fellowship is we are really adamant about grabbing your brother by the armpit, picking him back up, dusting him off, and say, okay, I get it. Let's keep going. We've got a lot more work to do. We've got to keep going. We men need that. I tell them often, embrace the ugliness of your past. You don't have to like it, but embrace it. Because that ugliness that you went through in your past has brought you to your right now. And Jesus said, don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the past. All you have is the present. Right now, this very second, how are you? How are you? I'm kind of doing okay. Praise God for that. In order to get to this point that you're in, you had to go through all this ugliness that you went through in your past to get to your right now. Your right now looks pretty good. Once you walk out these doors, I don't know what is in store for you. I can't tell you. The minute this second end, the minute this service ends, I don't know what's going to happen. But for your right now, I'm doing okay. Praise God. I would not have been able to get to this right now unless I went through that ugliness in my past. Listen, coming to visit my dad, he's really good at bringing up the ugly stuff that I did to him in high school. And it's like, thanks, Dad. Thanks for taking me through that. You know, I appreciate the visit down memory lane and doing it in front of my kids, too. It's like, oh, no, Dad. Okay. Sorry. He laughs at me. But I tell him, you know, and I remind him that ugliness that we went through was necessary to get to here. And the here is pretty cool. See, I like where you live. It's green over here. California, everything's yellow and burning. It's sad, but everything's dry out there. We got a water shortage. Can't even water your yard. Everyone's yard is gravel now. But all of that is necessary in order to get to where we're at right now. My computer went off again. Here we go. Okay. So, have faith in the storm. As I've been sharing with you, see beyond the storm. Romans 8:28 says, and I can recite this one by heart because I stand on this one a lot. All things work together for good for those who love God. I can't see the good in the middle of my storm, Lord. But I'm going to trust you. Because your word promises all things work together for good. Somewhere in this storm, there's got to be good. I'm going to trust that you know what you're doing. And that good is taking me to my happy place. So I'm going to trust you in the middle of the storm. The Bible also says to contend for the faith. That word contend in the Greek is like a pit bull to a piece of meat. So it means hang on, you're in for a ride. Hold on. Bite down hard. Because it might even hurt. But he's taking you somewhere. That storm you're going through is preparing you for something. It's training you for where you're going to be and what you're going to have to do. Quick example. I had an accident happen with my car. I pulled into a little strip mall and one of the spikes in the tire guards were sticking up 1 inch too high. And I had a little Chrysler PT Cruiser. Pulled my car over it, and when I was done, I was backing out, ripped off my front end. So I'm like, really, Lord? And so he put it on my heart to take up an issue with the owner of the property. Because of all the other bumper guards, this one was the only one with that spike sticking up. And So I was like, how do I do that? Well, a small claims court, okay. Go online, they walk you through writing up a demand letter. Okay, typed up a demand letter, I sent it to the owner. Within 2 days, he contacted me. I got an estimate for what it would cost to repair my car, and it was $1,600, and he was trying to get me down to five. I said, you know what, I'll take eight. He says, oh, thank you so much. I'm really having a hard time. God bless you. Praise God. Must know the Lord. Didn't ask him about it or nothing, but he gave me a check for $800. 3 months later, another friend that I know, she says, John, I have this problem. This person owes me some money, and I don't know how to get it from him. I said, I know how to write a demand letter. He brought me through the training of doing it on my own so I could help this girl. She was from Hungary, so English wasn't her first language. Communicating with her was difficult. But the point being that I went through the training to help this person. The difficult times you're going through may be a training ground for something the Lord's going to be doing with you in the future. And we learned this in recovery. The Lord never wastes a hurt. A hurt that you might be going through is training for something he's going to take you through and to. So trust what he's doing. Lastly, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, and this one's hard. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God which passes all human understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Give thanks in the storm. So you're in your boat, the waves are crashing around you, the wind is blowing you. Thank you, Lord! No. That's really hard. How are you going to thank the Lord when you're getting beat? On a physical level, not down. My uncle told me this when I was a little kid. Sometimes in Hawaii, they call me Bo. My dad was John, so they called me Bo. My uncle taught me this when I was little. He says, sometimes, Bo, you just have to bend over, crouch down, and take your licks. And that hurts. How, in the middle of taking your licks from someone who may be beating on you, are you going to say, thank you, Lord? It's really tough. But you thank him in the middle of the storm, not for the beatings that you're getting now, but for where he's taking you. Thank you for the training I'm going through now, Lord. Thank you for the winds that are beating against my boat, because it's training me and teaching me for something. And I can't comprehend what it is, and it hurts. I don't like being here. I'm going to thank you anyway. I'm going to trust you. Because I know that when I get to that place you're taking me to, I'll get to celebrate. I don't know how I'm going to do that now, but I'm going to celebrate. So thank you in the middle of the storm. You may not be in a storm right now. Praise God. All of us are either in the middle of a storm or getting ready for one. Because when he takes you to that happy place, you get comfortable in that happy place. He says, okay, time for a new training lesson. New storm. Really, Lord? It was some 8 years ago, and he's still walking me through this. The Lord told me, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Come on, Lord, really? Yeah. You'll have time to get comfortable and rest when you're home with me. Till then, you got work to do. My brothers and sisters, you have work to do. Your neighbor may be hurting. My dad has a neighbor. She's wrestling with cancer. Dad, have you ministered to her? No, I really. Let's go talk to Pat. Your neighbor kids might be playing with your kids. Might be the opportunity. Because it was a neighbor kid of mine when I was a little kid who invited me to go to their Baptist church as a little kid. Want to get on the bus with us? Sure, a bunch of kids getting on a bus sounds like fun. Sunday morning, yeah, let's do it. That's what started me going to church. You need to step into that place of being uncomfortable, but for His glory. Because He's taking you somewhere. He's doing something with you. We shared this last night in the, it was a word of prophecy that the Lord gave me a vision of a womb being birthed. And there's something happening here, right in this church, which expands into this, I don't know, township, into this county, then into the state, and beyond. And it happens. One person. Starts with one. Me. You. Starts with one. I told you about this men's fellowship that we have. We have over 100 guys that come on Saturday mornings, and out of this 100 guys, we have 40 different ministries that happen. Some minister to the homeless, they take food to the park on Saturday afternoon. Some go into the jails and the prisons and pray with the prisoners. Just, these guys just have a need to get out and do what the Lord is calling them to do. And they've heard the voice, they get out and do it. And of course, sometimes they call me and say, John, can you come into the prison and lead worship? Can you come into the delinquent hall and sing for these kids? Sure, I'll come. Schedule allowing, I'll go. The Lord is calling you into some area, and it could be one neighbor who may be shut in, that the only Bible they ever read is you. Step into that place of discomfort. Trust what the Lord is doing. Know that you know who you are and that you have a role to play. Because we are called, and Jesus said this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here now. That's what He was saying. The kingdom is here now. It's not when we die and we go there. We occupy the kingdom now. Take your role. Take your place. Occupy the kingdom. The expanse of the kingdom begins with you. And then into your children. Into your family members. Into my dad. And into your parents, your great-grandparents. Occupy the kingdom now. And then take on that boldness, grit your teeth, hold on tight, and step out. Trust what the Lord does with that. Amen? Let's all pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the message you bring us, Lord. Thank you for the teaching that you bring us. Thank you that it's perfect and timely for each of us in our own hearing. Thank you, Lord, that today we know who we are. We are the righteousness of God. We know the role that you've called us to be in. We are the hands and feet and the extension of your touch into a hurting and dying world. We are your eyes to see as you would see. We are your heart to feel as you would feel. We are your feet to go as you propel us to go. And thank you, Lord, that where God guides, God will provide. Thank you that you make provision, Lord, and that you fulfill the promises of your word. That you will provide all that we need for the purposes you are calling us to. For those issues that are in the bulletin, for this homeless shelter, Lord, we thank you now, in the midst of the storm, we thank you now that you are already making a way, Lord. Thank you now that you have already brought a new coordinator, and that coordinator has already got the place set up, Lord. Thank you now for that. We thank you now that you are taking us through that storm, and as difficult as it might be, Lord, we will occupy that comfortable place now, even while we're still in the middle of the storm, that you teach us, guide us, lead us. And if there be any here today, Lord, who don't know you, we give our lives to you. On that note, is there anyone here today who has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? I want to make that available. Invite you now. You don't have to be embarrassed. Just look up at me. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you stand up or anything. I'll give you a minute. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that all of us here know you, and that we can all profess and proclaim and confirm, I am the righteousness of God. Say that with me. I am the righteousness of God. We know who we are, Lord. And so we will occupy the kingdom now. Be there any new areas of ministry, any new outreaches that you want me to start, Lord, and I'm speaking on behalf of each and every one of us here. Be there a new ministry that needs to start, Lord. Show me how to do that. Give me your Holy Spirit insight to know how to do that. I can't comprehend how that's going to happen. I don't have the resources to make that happen, Lord, but you do. Thank you now that you begin that. Thank you now. I see a bus ministry happening here. People are going to start to be bussed into this place, and someone is going to have to begin that bus ministry. And I see the Lord bringing, donating buses to make that happen here. And I really see this place growing immensely. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you are causing that to happen even now. I see a women's ministry that reaches out to women who have been hurt and abused in relationships. There's somewhere that someone who's going to minister in a shelter or a setting like that for women like that. I see that happening here as well. Many ministries I see coming out of this little church, because it's not so much a church that grows in numbers. But I really sense this, that the Lord is growing big people out of this church. If you agree with me, raise your hand. Praise God. Raise your other hand. Just thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for that ministry, Lord. Thank you that we receive that. All these things that we've seen, we receive that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.